is punished, the simple is made wise. And that's both sides to this same truth here. Those of us that have raised kids or are trying to raise kids, those of you that are going to raise kids, one of the things that you need to drive into them and you need to help them to realize is that there's consequences for actions. That wickedness is punished, and that good things are rewarded. And it's a tough thing to do, really. You got to take a firm line, and you got to fight that natural love that's in there for your kid, and you got to fight it, and you got to do what you know needs done. And it's not always easy. It's not for me. It wasn't for me. I guess like I bore my heart there a few weeks ago talking about the fact that I've got some French DNA in me. Sometimes it's just tough for me to show tough love and to do the right thing, but it needs done. And what you're looking at in America is the result of that not being done. I mean, you take things like, it's difficult, like I've been trying to say all morning, it's difficult to even to determine where to begin. Taking God out of the school system, taking the Bible out of the school system, and they put in evolution in its place. And so at the school, they're taught that they're just another animal, you know, and the law of the jungle takes effect in that situation. And then when they look around, and that's what we've been looking at in the book of Ecclesiastes, the divine point of view of a man that tried it all and saw it all. And so as a child's coming up in this country, and if they're not exposed to biblical Christianity, and even sadly, sometimes if they are exposed to biblical Christianity, they just look around, and what they see is not back up what they're being taught. I mean, they look at America today, and it's difficult to find statistics. It was for me, but I'm going to give you some statistics that I did find. And this is just some statistics in regards to how evil and wickedness is punished in America today. And really, 2016 was the newest study I could find with regard to the prison system. I did find some more current statistics with regard to capital punishment. And capital punishment is only legal in 24 of our states. And that's just amazing to me. Capital punishment. I mean, putting somebody to death that killed somebody. And the verse we're studying right now, again, it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And we walk by faith and not by sight, and what that means is we walk according to this book, not by according to what we see. And that's really what we're looking at this morning, and in the effort to raise kids or the effort to govern people in America, they look around. If they're just going by what they see and not by what the Bible says, this is what they see. They see a government or a state or a federal government that's not interested in punishing evil works. This idea of humanism and the philosophies of they go so far as to try to make these people that have committed murder look like the victims. They take away the status of the victim from the person that they've murdered, and they try to put it on somebody that's committed that murder. And like it or not, I realize that that can be a tough thing if you don't know God according to His Word. But when somebody has killed somebody, they're worthy of death. And that's something that should be executed speedily. And that's only legal in 24 of our states. The rest of them have outlawed it. And of the 24 states that it is legal, only 9 states have performed an execution in the last 5 years. You know what we're teaching our kids? We're teaching our kids you get away with it. Live how you want to live, do what you want to do, because they're just going to get away with it. You're not going to be punished. And I see it, and I'm sure you see it. People that you know, maybe you grew up with them, maybe they're family members, but they're just doing wickedness constantly. And when I say that, I'm not talking about at the bar. I'm talking about drugs, drug trafficking, and they get picked up for driving without a license. and they're back out on the street. You know, they got picked up for the 15th time, and then they're back out on the street the next week. Even get caught for carrying drugs across state lines, and they're right back on the street, you know, in no time. How do you expect the kids to think anything else? And I don't know what we do about it. I mean, I do know what we do about it. I hate it when I say something and I think, well, that was a dumb thing to say. You vote right, you pray for your country, and you do everything you can in that way. But that's what they're teaching them. I say we collectively, because I'm a member of this country, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of some of the things that are going on here, but I'm not ashamed of being American. I'm thankful for this country, and I'm thankful for what this country started out as. And they're trying to destroy it. And I'm trying my best not to preach all morning on politics and how you vote and things like that. But it's just amazing to me. And you look at this, and we're just talking about this verse where it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Out of the 24 states that it's legal, only 9 have put somebody to death in the last 5 years. On average, an inmate on death row waits 22 years before his execution. What did the verse say? It says, because sentence is not executed speedily. When somebody is committed to sentenced to death, you realize what word I just used? I used the word sentence. That's what the court system even calls it. They're sentenced to death. When the judge pronounces the verdict, or the punishment, rather, it's called a sentence. And the Bible here is telling us that that's the reason that men are set, their heart is set in them continually to do evil. They don't see any justice. And that's what we're going to deal with the rest of this chapter, is this idea. And it's what Solomon saw in his day. When Solomon looked around, and he was the king. When Solomon looked around, he realized this. That because people aren't punished, and it doesn't happen quickly, that's part of the reason their heart is set continually to do evil. 22 years before they're executed. You know the average time served for murder in this country? I'm not talking about breaking and entering or stealing some money or drunk driving. I'm talking about murder. The average time spent for murder. The average time they actually spend. I'm not talking about what the proper sentence is. You know, when they pass sentence, they sentence them to so many years in prison. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how many times they actually serve before they get out. 13.4 years for murder. This country has let philosophy and emotion destroy the sense and the accountability for justice. You know, the Old Testament and God dealing with Israel, he talked about the land being defiled with these things. And that's something that's lost on America. They just look at this thing. They look at it like I'm on the idea on the subject of putting somebody that's been convicted of murder, you know, by witnesses beyond the shadow of reasonable doubt, they're guilty. And they look at that as like they're murdering that person. Well, that's not God's idea of the situation at all. You see, they made that choice when they chose to kill. They forfeited their life. That's God's estimate of justice, and it's lost on America. It's lost on America, and it's destroying this country. And there's lots of things destroying this country, but this is one that's been at it for quite a while. As humanism has crawled in, and philosophy's crawled in, and the shrinks, psychiatry, and all that stuff, trying to figure this thing out outside of the Word of God and outside of God, and they're destroying the country. Again, Proverbs 21:11, the Bible said, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. Now, before I go to that verse, let me give you a couple more statistics. The average time served for violent crime, like rape or sexual battery, is 6 years. That's it, 6 years. violent robbery, that's somebody like kicking in your door or putting a gun to you or putting a knife to you. Violent robbery, the average time served is 4.7 years. Drug trafficking, pretty much everything below that is measured in months. Drug trafficking, that's huge, guys. That's a terrible sin. It's destroying lives, and it's just, that's terrible. That's heinous. Drug trafficking, 26 months. 26 months. They wonder, you know, what they talk about now, right now, in the news today, they talk about overcrowding. And a lot of these people are getting released under the name of overcrowding. We just don't have room, so we're just going to turn them loose. They don't realize that that's a symptom that they've been turning them loose for too many years already. Everybody's acting this way because they know nothing's going to happen. Yeah, and it's just a shame, and it's a shame. So again, Proverbs 21, verse 11, the Bible says, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. You know what our kids need to see? Our kids need to see some murderers put to death. The Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Rod and reproof drive it far from him. That stuff's in there. In that sin nature, that Adamic nature that they're born with. And you know what they need to see? They need to see some justice. They need to see sentence executed speedily. Right about now, the psychologist is losing their mind. They think, man, that poor ignorant country preacher, he wants a kid to watch somebody hang from a tree until they're dead. That's what needs to happen. According to God, that's what needs to happen. Bible says that when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. You know what would happen in your little toddler's heart watching that man swing from a tree, hang there until he's dead? You know what he'd learn? He'd learn, I need to watch what I do. That there is right and wrong, and I'll be held accountable if I do wrong. But you know what they see? They see him released and released and released and put back on the streets to murder again and to rape again and all the terrible things that's going on in this world. They're just being turned loose. I'm trying to move on. But you look at the situation we're in today and the peaceful protests that we've been watching for a couple years now. And you know me, I say that tongue in cheek. They call them peaceful protests. They're riots. They're destroying businesses and buildings and government buildings, and they're robbing and all the things that they're doing. They call it peaceful protest. When our politicians are setting up accounts to get those people out of jail, to fund them getting out of jail, we're gone. This country has missed this verse so long ago that it's not even funny. It's tragic. Again, verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. When we should be showing justice and equity and sentence being executed speedily, we've done the opposite. And make no mistake about it, the left, they want to destroy this country. And they've not done this on accident. This was done on purpose. They know that the vast majority of us, we're not going to stand for a different style of government. We're not going to stand for anything but capitalism. But they're convinced, and they may be right, that if this country failed, that a lot of people would let them bring in a different kind of government. And that's their goal. And they know that's the only way it's going to happen. We're not going to vote in socialism. We're not going to vote in communism. So they're trying to destroy this country. And this is one way they've done it. This is one way they've done it. And Solomon saw it here in his day. And we'll read it one more time and we'll move on. The Bible says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And that's, as I've tried to illustrate this morning, that's something that's took place many years ago, and we're just seeing the end result of it. We're seeing a system overflowing with people, and it just can't handle them. And that's happened because for so long now, they've not been punishing properly. They've not been punishing accordingly. And there's plenty of statistics out on there. I just gave you a few. And if you dig into that, you can just see how far we've gone. And it's a shame. So let's look. Let's move on to verse 12 here. And we're kind of dealing with the same subject here. We may have to read a few verses here. Let's look at verses. I'm just going to read 12 all the way through 14 here. Bible says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Now this is, again, you know the context of the book of Ecclesiastes. This is God giving us a window into Solomon's mind and what he saw on the earth. And this is Solomon trying to work this thing out in his head. The truth we just looked at in verse 11, he's looking at that thing and he's realizing, he's telling himself, I know this ain't right. I know what I'm seeing is not right. That's not the way it's going to wind up. And again, in the book of Ecclesiastes, many times, most of the time, you're talking about the nasty now and now, not the sweet by and by. He's looking at this world through the time, through the lens, through his eyes, through the eyes of this life, many times to the exclusion, and actually also many times, as we've already seen, to the contradiction of divine truths, of eternal truths. We're going to come up against one here in a minute too that we've already covered. But he's looking at this thing and he's saying, I know that ain't right, is basically what he just said. So we looked in verse 11 at how evildoers aren't punished and how terrible that is and how that's the cause of the problem and how they're not being punished. And then in verse 11 he says, because sentence against, or verse 12, he says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. See, that's what he sees. That's what he's seeing. That's what he's telling us about. That's what he's tore up about. And then he says, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. And there you got both truths. You got the truth of right now, what you can see around you in this country. And then you've got what you know from the Bible, what you get taught here from the Authorized Version of 1611, the truths about the judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment for those that don't get saved. And be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, from the book of Galatians. Those are truths. They're absolute truths. Sometimes it's just easy to forget those things if you're just looking around. If you're not in your Bible every day and reading and memorizing verses like that. If you just neglect your Bible and neglect prayer life and quit coming to church and you start looking around and looking at America, that you'll fall to the other side of the coin there and get caught up on those things. You'll think that sinners aren't getting punished, that wicked people are getting rewarded. Those are the things that you, just by looking around, those are the conclusions you would draw. But he knows the truth here, and we know the truth. The Lord's gonna sort all that out. They're gonna give account for those things in judgment. Many of them will give account here on this earth, but they'll also give account at the white throne judgment, those that aren't saved. So verse 12 again, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with him that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days. See, there's a chance for the Bible corrector to say, look at those two verses. Yeah. One says he prolonged his days, and the other says he didn't, so the Bible can't be trusted, right? Throw it out. But the Holy Spirit can give you light on this thing, and it's painfully obvious. The only person that could read those two verses and come to the conclusion that that's an error is somebody that doesn't have the Holy Spirit. And honestly, it seems to me that it'd have to be somebody that was just looking for an error. Because it's obvious from the context that he's talking about in verse 12 what it looks like to somebody just on the earth. It looks like they're prolonging their days. And then in verse 12, he's stating the truth, the biblical truth, that they're not prolonging their days. Wicked works do not prolong days. Verse 13 again, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There at verse 14, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. And again, there be wicked men to whom it happen according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. I want you to skip ahead with me and look at verse 9 real quick. Chapter 9, verse 1. But the Bible says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise in their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them." This world is a mystery to somebody that's just looking at it just through their fleshly eyes. And that's what Solomon's dealing with here. That's what the Lord's using Solomon to give us here, is this realization that if you're just looking around, you're not reading the Bible, you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have any understanding of eternal things and the judgments, all the different judgments in the Bible, and salvation in Jesus Christ and all those things. If you're just looking around, you can't figure it out in this world. You can't. He's talking about righteous men that bad things are happening to, and wicked men that good things are happening to. And at the end of verse 9, the Bible, or chapter 9, verse 1, where I just read, the Bible says, "No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them." You know what the Lord's telling you there? The Lord's telling us there? You can't tell the love of God or the hate of God by looking around. Just because something bad is happening to you right now, just because you're going through a hard time, it doesn't mean God's mad at you. If things are good right now, that doesn't mean that God loves you. That's not how you determine whether you're under fellowship with the Lord or not fellowship, or if you're in the love of God or outside of the love of God. Of course, we know that the love of God is manifested towards us in Jesus Christ. You're in Him, you're in on the love of God, despite your circumstances. And that's what it takes. And that's walking by faith, walking by what the Bible tells you about your situation, not by the circumstances of your situation. You understand? Not by what's going on around you. You can't look around and tell whether you're in fellowship with the Lord or not. You need to know, the only way to tell whether you're in fellowship with the Lord or not is if you're walking according to His Word or not. Again, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's been a good couple weeks, by the way. I don't know how many of you were able to attend every night of the King James Conference at Bible Baptist in Oneida, and then here for the Missions Conference. It's been good. I love the preaching of the cross, but I love the preaching about this book too. I've had a little dose of our strange form of Calvinism that's in these mountains this week, personally dealing with it. I come across a mass on YouTube. Sometimes you just flip through YouTube. Maybe I shouldn't do that. But, you know, I was raised Catholic, and I just thought it's weird. I thought, well, here's this priest giving Mass. And I guess they're doing it because of COVID. I guess they're doing it remotely. It's just him in a room, you know. So I thought, well, maybe this would be good for me. I watched it. I don't know. I've been out a long time. I guess sixth grade was when I left the Catholic Church. And I didn't leave it because I got saved and got right. I left it. After my mom died, she was the one really forcing it on me. And I watched that Mass, and being exposed to Calvinism over the weekend and dealing with somebody, and then seeing what I come out of there, boy, I'm sure I'm thankful to have a book. Amen. That's what got me thinking about those things. And making comment about the Bible Conference, King James Bible Conference there at Bible Baptist. You know, I wouldn't know about my Savior. I wouldn't have realized I was in trouble if it weren't for this book. And just the darkness and the ignorance that's out there from somebody that would say, "I don't know, I can't show you how to know how you're saved." And I don't know if I said that well enough. They said they can't show somebody how to know if they're saved or not. That was their position. They were proud of it. I think they were waiting on me to amen it. And I just don't understand it.
Right, yeah. Amen.
This book is just so plain on that subject. But these hills are full of it. Hills are full of it. And to watch that priest, I don't know how many of you have done that. Maybe you all should do that. Watch a Mass. Hold that cup of fermented liquor up and the wafer and talk about the Son of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold Him. I had forgotten how blatant it is. He's holding that up, that unleavened bread and that wine. He's holding it up and telling His followers to behold Jesus Christ. And had eaten it, you know, made them right with God. I It's just amazing. So that's what makes meetings like last week and the week before so special, to be gathered around like-minded people that know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they know you can't put him in a cup or in a baptistry or in a bread wafer or
yes, sir.
People that know they're saved.
Yes. Yeah.
God's given us a book, and the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Word made manifest. The Word made flesh. And the Holy Spirit wrote this book, and if you're going to get anything from God, that's what the Holy Spirit's going to use, is this book. And it's just a pleasure to get around some people and spend some extra time. This world, just in the day-to-day life, can just get you so wore out. But to come around some people and just spend some time with some people for a couple weeks that believe like you believe and realize the importance of this book, it's such a blessing. And it's been good. And that's what it takes to overcome this, what we're seeing in the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 here. This, when I say this, I'm talking about the evidence that's all around you. Because if you walk out these doors and you don't spend any time in your Bible until Wednesday when the preacher gets up here and tells you to open it,
right,
or if you don't spend any time in prayer at all,
right,
you're going to be taken away and just ripped away from what you believe and what you've been taught in this book. You look at this world and you look at the evidence that you see on the news, what's going on and the wickedness that's not being punished, the people that are being turned back out on the street to just ruin somebody else's life. It would take you away from this book. And as a matter of fact, it would take you away from God. You see it many times, people that they go through a rough time. And in chapter 9, verse 1, I'm trying to make you realize that you can't determine whether God loves you or not or is mad at you or not based on your circumstances. But people do that. You see it all the time. They go through a rough time, and they're mad at God. Something bad happens to them, and the person doesn't get punished. They blame that on God. And it's just an improper response. And it's what we're looking at here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. People, Solomon looking at this thing and realizing that the evidence that's out there, it does not support the proper conclusion. The proper conclusion is that God is just and God is righteous. And He's going to set all things right. You just rest assured. That though a wicked person live many years and just seems like in our eyes they never get punished, they're going to get punished. And it takes faith to realize those things because you don't see it when you look around. And that's just the way the Bible's written. If somebody's looking for a way out, if they're looking for a reason to quit, if they're looking for a reason to not believe in God, they'll find them a reason. But for those of us that would just come to the Scriptures and humble obedience and just realizing that these are the words of God and that they're the authority, I'm not. I don't get to decide what they say. I just got to believe them, and I got to allow the Holy Spirit to teach these words to me. And prayerfully read this book and study this book. It's a well of pure water, like the song says.
Amen. That's right.
So that's the antidote to the what you'll see around you, and that's the subject we're talking about in the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 8, is what you see around you in this world, and how it doesn't make sense. It would lead you to believe the wrong thing about God, and even leads people to the place where they don't even believe in a God. They just can't imagine how there could be an all powerful God, based on what's going around in this world. What's going on in this world is a result of sinful man. People, the Calvinists would emphasize the sovereignty of God. What amazes me from the Bible is the sovereignty of man.
Yes.
How God would, knowing me the way I know me, I wouldn't give me a free will. If I was God, I would say, okay, you're going to do that. And I guess maybe is the appeal for that. And it causes a self-righteousness in the Calvinists. They think they're right because they're part of the elect. But the evidence around you doesn't line up with the Bible. I mean, it lines up with the Bible. I'm getting sidetracked, brother. You know what I'm saying. We know from the Bible that this world's going to end in chaos and destruction. And it's headed that way. But to your average Christian that gets their teaching off of TV, and I'm not talking about the local channels. I'm talking about, you know, the big names in the Christian broadcasting or whatever. They're telling them that God wants them to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and live your best life now, and all those things. And if that's your belief, if that's where you put God, if that's what you think God is, you look around, you realize that's not true. We know from the Bible that the end is near, and that the Lord's coming back, and I wished He'd come back before I finished. So that's the antidote, is walking by faith. But if you just get caught up looking around, which I have to guard myself some. I have to cut back sometimes on my on the amount of news I intake, because it just makes me mad, and I can't do anything about it, and that makes me even more mad. So get yourself lost in this book and in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And in prayer, and not telling you not to vote and not to care about your country. Do all you can. But you need your hope and your refuge needs to be in God, in this book, and in Jesus Christ, not in this world and not in what you can see. So again here, let's take back up in verse 14. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. This is Solomon just trying to make sense of what he sees around him. And this is what I've been talking about all morning. He's realizing that's what he sees. It looks to him, it looks to us like the wicked people are not receiving for their wickedness. And then the rest of the verse, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said this is also vanity. Verse 15, then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide him of his labor all the days of his life, which God giveth him unto the sun. And we've already covered this. I'm not going to spend a great deal of time in this verse. That's the conclusion you come to if you just follow what you see around you. That's what I've been talking about all morning. If you just go by what's on the news and what you see in people you know's lives, and you're seeing wicked people just got it good, and they got it good, and they got it good, and then somebody you know that just loves the Lord and is a witness and a light is going through something tough. What that produces is a philosophy, and I don't know all these different philosophies, but this is the philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry. He's just looked into all this evidence, and to him, again, outside of the revelation, the judgment seat of Christ, and he knows nothing about the blood of Christ taking away the sins of the world, and all the things that we know about. And just in his looking around, this is his conclusion. And partly because that's what worked for him, that's where he got his enjoyment. Which was part of the problem, turned his heart away from his God. But he says here the conclusion is just to enjoy your labor. And you know that's not the conclusion. I'm looking out here this morning. I mean, you may be up by the TV or the radio. You don't know that's the conclusion. But that's not the conclusion. And you'll know by the end of the book here when we get to the last couple verses. But that's not the conclusion. Your enjoyment doesn't need to be here and now. Your enjoyment needs to be out past the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus said to lay up treasure in heaven, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's the exact opposite philosophy of what we see here in verse 15. And again, that's not a reason to doubt the Bible. That's not a reason to just give up on God because you don't understand it. We've been given divine insight into a man that's lived it all, done it all, tried it all. And so you don't have to. This was given to you so that you don't have to go down this road to know how a man that's went down this road thinks. And that's what it's here for. And that's how a lot of them wind up. They wind up in just, I'm going to get all I can get, and I'm going to enjoy all I can enjoy because I'm going to die. And you know that's not the end of the story. But that's what Solomon's looking at here. And that's how the Lord used him in authoring this book of the Bible. Verse 16, when I applied mine heart to know wisdom, And to see the business that is done upon the earth. And we were talking about, so we've been talking about all morning, looking around, just seeing what's going on around. For also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Talking about how it takes away your sleep, and that happens a lot of times for people. Just looking around at the circumstances and getting caught up in those things, it takes away your sleep. Verse 17, then I beheld all the works of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet shall he not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it out. And you see that at the, we'll end right here. But you see that in the colleges today. You know, the wisest professor is one that claims they don't know anything. I don't know why you would go to a place that, and pay all that money for 4, 6, 8 years of education under men that claim they don't know anything. They think that's the mark of true wisdom, is to say you don't know. And again, that's why I like a King James Conference. I know. I know. Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. They still ain't got that one figured out. They can do a lot of things in manipulate and plant DNA and this and that and all that kind of stuff. But that's one thing they ain't figured out. The life of the flesh is in the blood. They can't make blood. They can't. If they could, you wouldn't be up here at the Volunteer Medic Drive giving blood once a month. They can't make blood. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. I don't understand that. I don't know that. I mean, I just have to believe it. And I do. And it may look arrogant to somebody on the outside, but it's not. It's not that I know. I got a book that knows. And all I got to do is put faith in it. Faith, simple belief in the Word of God, that's faith. And so that's why I just get so tickled. I like them King James conferences. I like preaching on this book, because that's the only way we know Jesus Christ. That's the only way we knew it. So that's what you need to do, guys and ladies. We need to stay in this book, and we need to limit our, I mean, some of you can probably take it more than others, but some of us, we need to limit our exposure to the news and to what's going on in this world, because that type of evidence, and if you're not spending enough time in this Bible and enough time in prayer and really trying to understand and memorize this book, it's going to lead you to the wrong conclusions. Yeah, so, all right, let's take a break.